You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
God, thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that there's victory in that name. God, I thank you for when that name is called on, Father, power and authority follow after it. God, I'm thank you, Father, that you save us by the name of Jesus. God, I'm grateful, Lord, that Jesus has not only given us victory over death, but Father, he's given us victory in this life. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for all that Jesus gives us. If it weren't for Jesus, we'd have nothing to sing about. If it weren't for Jesus, Lord, there's no need for us meeting. God, I pray today that we'd lift up Jesus high and that people be drawn to him. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a seat. Let me tell you where my heart is today. I've been preaching through 1 Peter, and we started that a few weeks ago, really talking about our citizenship's not here, it's in heaven. If Christ lives in you and me, then we're in this world, but we're not of this world. That's why we respond differently, we act differently, we give grace, we offer love, we give charity. That's why there's a lot of hospitals in this world that because of Jesus, those hospitals are built. Because you and I as believers, we're to live differently in this world. When people hurt us, when people do us wrong, we're to offer grace and forgiveness. We're different. And Peter is reminding the folks in 1 Peter that we're to live differently because of whose we are. Christ lives in us and we've been changed. But I tell you, my heart's not in 1 Peter this morning. I've thought a lot about heaven this week. And I want to share with you a really simple message about heaven. And I'll be honest with you, 9:30 was a little heavy in here. But I'm gonna hopefully the 11 o'clock will not be as heavy. But my heart is that maybe you can see today that God loves you so much that he prepared a place for you. He sent Jesus here to this world to give you a way, to show you the way, to offer you a way to spend all of eternity with him in heaven. And so if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, as we're heading there, we're going to talk about heaven. I want to tell you that oftentimes we have some misunderstandings or misconceptions about heaven. When we think about heaven, we think that when we die, we're going to just sit on clouds and little angels flying around playing harps for all of eternity. And if I'm going to be real honest with you, as a man, that doesn't really excite me a whole lot. I don't want to spend all of eternity floating around on a cloud playing a harp with a bunch of little angel cherubs. That sounds a little bit more like hell to me, all right? If I were to be honest, I need something a little more manly. I need something a little more meeting of my needs, right? And a lot of times we so look at heaven in our mind and we see it in ways that aren't biblical. In fact, when you think about angels, a lot of us, when we have a loved one that passes away, we say, especially if they're younger or children, we say, hey, well, you know, so-and-so got their wings. I want you to know something. You and I don't become angels in heaven. That's not the process that happens. When we as a believer leave this earth in the spirit and we die, we don't get wings. We don't become angels. Angels are created beings. But the Bible says that he's created you higher than the angels. He's made you and I different than the angels. You and I have a will to love him, to choose him, to follow him. Angels don't have that will. But God's given you a will, and that makes this relationship with Jesus that much sweeter. Because you and I have a free will to run away from him, to remove our life from him, to not follow after his word, to not trust him. And that makes our trusting him and loving him and following after him that much sweeter, because we have the will to choose one or the other. Angels don't have a will. We don't become angels when we die. Now watch this. Heaven is as much a place as it is a person. Listen, without Jesus, there is no heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without him, right? That Jesus is, his presence is what makes heaven, heaven. And so I don't want us to disconnect the two, but I want you to see heaven from a biblical perspective this morning. Now, some of you are like me. Heaven may be sweeter today than it's ever been before in your life. The older we get, the more folks that we have in heaven than we have here, and we see the scales tip and balance in that direction. All you have to do is keep waking up, and that's what happens, right? But I want you to know this before we go any further and look at the biblical picture of heaven. I want you to know this. Not everybody goes to heaven. Heaven is a real place. It's not in our mind. It's not something that's made up. It's not a crutch in which we use to get through difficult times in our life. But I'll tell you this, we don't believe in a universal thought of heaven. We don't believe that everybody gets to go to heaven. Just as real as heaven is, hell is just as real. And just as heaven is a reality, hell is a reality. Now watch this about heaven. You and I don't get to heaven by anything we do. We're not going to stand before God one day and he weighs our life out. And he puts us on a scale and says, well, hey, you've done more good than you've done bad. Let me give you inside information, all right? Public service announcement. There are no good people in this room today. There's not any good in here. Now, we may do good things. We may do nice things for people. We may do charitable deeds for folks. We may help individuals and who are hurting. We may do those things. But listen, the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There was one good person. The rest of us are bad. So it's not good go to heaven, bad go to hell. The only ones who go to heaven are those who've placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who've turned away from their life and trusted him as their Savior. And so I want you to get that as a foundation before we step into looking at heaven as a place, looking at the particulars of heaven. So if you got your Bible, I got you there in John chapter 14. I want you to read with me there, six verses in John chapter 14. The context of this passage is that Jesus is at the end of his earthly life. He has poured the last couple of years into 12 men. He has done miracles, he's preached messages, he has loved people and shown them how to live. He has taught from the Old Testament scriptures, taught with authority unlike anyone has ever heard, and he is about to go to the cross. He is about to die for the sins of the world, and he looks at these 12 men that he's just poured his life into. And listen to what he says in verse 1 of John chapter 14. He says, I don't want your hearts to be troubled. Did you see it? He said, I don't want you to be burdened and weighted down by the trouble that this world offers, the heartache, the things that we struggle with oftentimes as human beings who walk upon this earth. Jesus looked at the eyes of all of those men. Some of them were fishermen. Some of them were businessmen, just simple, everyday guys. And he looked at them in their face and he said, hey, listen, guys, things are about to change in the next few days. I don't want your hearts to be troubled. Listen to what he says. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And there, at that where I am, there you may be also. Look at verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, I love Thomas. Thomas got tattooed with a title because of what happened in John chapter 19. Thomas doubted that Jesus died. Thomas said, unless I put my hands in the nail-pierced hands of his or to thrust my finger into his side, I won't believe that he's alive. Thomas got tattooed with what many of you and I struggle with, and that's faith, believing, trusting in him. Thomas asked a question in John chapter 14. He said, whoa, hang on, Lord. How in the world are we going to know how to get where you're going? Are you going to leave us a map, a little X on it, GPS? You're going to drop a pin? How are we going to know how to get where you're going? And listen to what Jesus said. Verse 6. He said, Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, the way to get where I'm going is me. Now watch this. He said, I prepare a place for you. Heaven's a place. But he said, the only way to heaven is through me. Heaven's a person as much as it is a place. You see it in John chapter 14? Turn your Bible to Revelation 21. I want you to check this out. Almost to the end of the book. If you get to the maps, you've gone too far, okay? Revelation 21. This is going to be so simple. Five words. You can jot them down. You got a piece of paper. Put them in your phone and your notes of your phone. The first word's now, N-O-W. Now, heaven now. What is heaven now? Well, the Bible's very clear that heaven now is the presence of God. Heaven now is not what we sing about. Heaven now is not the streets of gold. Heaven now is not the pearly gates. Heaven now is not what we sing about. Heaven now is not even what we think about when we think about heaven. Heaven now is the presence of God. Jesus, prior to his birth, virgin birth, Jesus was removed from the throne of heaven, placed into the Virgin Mary in her womb. He was birthed and lived upon this earth for 33 odd years, went and ascended back into heaven. And now heaven was prior to that. Heaven was now the presence of Jesus. It's the presence of God. It's the home of God. It's the abode of God. Heaven now is where Jesus is. It's not our eternal home. Now let me tell you some cool things about heaven. Check this out. There's not a clock in heaven. There's no time in heaven. There's no calendar in heaven. In fact, 1 Peter says, or 2 Peter says, that a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. So one day is like 1,000 years in heaven. I want you to think about that. If we have loved ones who beat us to heaven, they're not sitting on a bench, regardless of what Brad Paisley thinks. They're not sitting there waiting on us. Because if you have a loved one that died within the last 1,000 years, they died yesterday. Isn't that amazing? There's no time in heaven. God's not restricted by a clock or a calendar. Heaven now is the presence of God. You remember when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was a thief on either side of him. The one on his right side believed in him, that he was the Son of God. And Jesus said this to him. You remember what he said? He said, today surely you'll be with me in paradise. What's paradise? It's the presence of Jesus. They were both dying, and Jesus looked to him and said that after this transition takes place, you and I will be together in paradise. Now, check this out. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is really super cool, okay? If you don't turn there, you can see it on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul is writing this to the church in Corinth, and listen to what he says. This was an experience that the Apostle Paul had. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. He said, listen, I don't know how it happened. If God just removed him in the spirit and gave him a vision of heaven, I believe Paul's talking about himself, but he didn't want to say that I experienced this. And he says, in 14 years ago, a man, look at verse 2, was caught up to the third heaven. Now hang on, preacher. Now you're telling me there's three of these things? He was caught up to the third heaven? Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, and I know a man, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows this, how he was caught up into There's that word again, paradise. Same word Jesus used when he was dying on the cross. Paul says, I know a man that was caught up into paradise, into the presence of God, into the home of the abode of God, and that man heard inexpressible words which it's not lawful for a man to utter. And watch this. Heaven now is the presence of God. Paul mentioned the third heaven. What's the third heaven? Now, watch this. In the Bible, it talks about the atmospheres, the heavenlies. Do you realize that you can see further at night than you can during the day? That out during the day, if we were to walk outside in just a few moments, we would look at the sky, we'd be able to see the sun, we'd see the clouds, we would see the atmosphere. That's heaven number one. That's the first heaven. But then at night, you and I see farther than we see during the day. We see the stars, we see the moon, we see the second heaven, the stellar heaven. But then the third heaven is where God dwells. It's the home of God, the presence of God. You and I can't see the third heaven with our eyes. We see into the third heaven with faith, trusting the word of God. Paul said it was 14 years ago that this man was caught up into the presence of God, into paradise. He heard things he couldn't explain. He saw things that he couldn't express. Heaven now is the presence, the home of God. And that's the first word I want you to write down. Now, here's the second word. Just change one letter. New. New heaven. So there's a now heaven. One of my favorite candies is now and laters, right? Man, you know, you chew those things and they'd pull all your dental work out when you chewed on them. They were good now, and then you could suck on them out of your teeth later, right? I mean, you had a little benefit now and then later. So we see now heaven and then the new heaven. Look in Revelation 21. That's where I put you just a minute ago. Check this out. John's writing this in Revelation 21. Look at what he says in verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God's making a new heaven, the place that will ultimately be our eternal home. Then that's exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 14. I want you to wrap your mind around this, church. It took God 6 days to create everything you and I enjoy on this earth. Six literal days. The word in Hebrew in Genesis chapter 1, where it talks about a day, and it says that there was a day, a night, and a day. And so it was a 24-hour period, and so for six consecutive 24-hour periods, God created everything that you and I can see and enjoy. We can go to the mountains in Colorado and we can see the majesty of the mountains. God created all of those mountains. In a 6-day period, God created everything that bursts upon our retinas when we look at the beauty of God's creation. You can go to the Grand Canyon, and just as high as those mountains are in Colorado, we can go to the Grand Canyon and see a hole. And it's incredible. The Colorado River winds through the Grand Canyon. We took the boys there when we went to Phoenix a few years ago, and we stayed in Sedona, which is beautiful. And you just look out at the red rocks in Sedona, and you think, man, God is so cool in how he made all of this. We went up to Flagstaff. We went north of Flagstaff, the south rim of the Grand Canyon. We took the boys there, and Jeb all the time was worried that Jude was going to get too close to the edge and fall into this hole. We got out of this long trip. We stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon, and they looked, and they're like, all right, big deal. It's a hole. Let's go. You know what's incredible? How beautiful it is that God created that, That God created the mountains. That you and I can look through a telescope and see all the things that God created in the universe. We can look in a microscope and see those things that you and I can't see with our eye and how detailed God was in creating all of that. We can look in an x-ray and look inside of our body. And you can talk to physicians and doctors who are way smarter than us. And they can tell you how incredible the human body is. That God has knit us together and he makes all of this work in an incredible way because he is a creator. And in 6 literal days, he created everything that you and I can see. Now watch this. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said, guys, I don't want your hearts to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If you believe in Creator God who made all of this, believe also in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. Listen to what he says. I go to prepare a place for you. God made everything that you and I can see, everything that in majesty, all of the things that we are in awe over, the ocean, the mountains, the Grand Canyon, everything, the universe, the body. Jesus has been preparing heaven for nearly 2,000 years. How cool is this place going to be? How incredible is it going to be that he made everything that you and I see in 6 days? And since Jesus ascended into heaven, he has been preparing a place for us. The new heaven. Let's be honest. You like new things, don't you? I mean, I like new stuff. I like new clothes. And then my wife will go buy new clothes, and the next day she won't even wear the new clothes. I'm just telling you, ladies are like that. You buy new clothes, you'll buy them a season ahead of when you need them. I mean, you like plan out your clothes. And you go and you do the shopping and you bring them home and you're so excited and then you hang them up for like 3 months. If I buy a new shirt, you're going to be the first one to know. I may wear it out of the store, right? I love wearing new stuff. I love new things. I love new clothes. I'm going to tell you what, I love a new car, a new truck. And those people at Red River Chevrolet know it. Because when I take my old truck in there to get worked on, they put me in a loaner. Have you ever been through this before? You go get some warranty work on your old car with the old bells and whistles and the old smells, the French fries underneath the seat smell, all of the smells in your old ride, and you drop it off to get some things worked on. And what do they put you in? They put you in somebody else's old ride? No, they're smarter than that. They know you like new things. They put you in a brand new truck. And you were fine with the truck you had before. You were fine with the smell. You were fine with the bells and whistles. You were fine with all of that. But when you sit in that new ride, there's something about new car smell. I mean, it just gets all over you, right? And you drive away and realize, you know what? I wasn't as satisfied with that old car or that old truck as I thought I was. You know what? I need this one. I need this one new. You call the guy, your salesman, on the way home and say, hey, what about this one? I'll just trade mine in and get this one. We like new stuff. The Bible says that God's taken that was old and he's making it new. He's making heaven brand new for us. So we got now, we got new. Here's the third one I want you to see near, right near down. Heaven's near. How close is heaven? Well, the Bible, we get glimpses into heaven a lot of times in the Bible. You remember Jacob in the Old Testament had a ladder and he climbed a ladder into the presence of God, into the home of God, into heaven. Enoch in Genesis, he walked with God. He was not, for God took him, the Bible says, and he walked into heaven. Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, it was the year that King Uzziah died, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw into heaven, into the presence of God, into the throne room of God. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, when he was being stoned and his life was leaving him, he looked and he saw into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now look, heaven's near. We can see it. Folks have walked to it. Jacob climbed to it. But let me tell you how close it is, really. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is a heartbeat away. Heaven's one breath away from those who are in Christ Jesus. That when your heart beats in your chest for the very last time, you close your eyes here on this earth, you open them in the presence of God. And let me tell you some cool things about that. The Bible says that blessed is the death of the Lord's saints. That precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That God loves that because when we die, we then move into his presence. In fact, Jesus tells a story in the Gospels about a rich man. Some of you remember this, a rich man and Lazarus. The rich man fared well in this life. He had a lot of things. He had a beautiful home and all the food he could eat and nice clothes. But Lazarus, this guy Lazarus, he was poor. He was a beggar. He would sit at the table of the rich man and he would eat the crumbs off the rich man's table. Now watch this. The Bible says that the rich man died and he was buried. Then it says that Lazarus died and he was carried. There's a big difference in the Greek word that the rich man, when he died, it's almost as if everything was over. Life was over, that he died and died for eternity, but Lazarus died and lived. He died and was carried. There's a picture of us that when those who are in Christ, when they die, that the angels come and remove their spirit and bring their spirit into the presence of the Lord. Look what it says in verse 3 of Revelation chapter 21. Paul said, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, because heaven is near. Now watch this, the fourth thing. I never have 5 points, so I'm moving as quick as I can. It's friend day, so I'm taking it easy on you. Now, new, near. And here's the fourth one, not, N-O-T. John in Revelation chapter 21, he begins to tell us what the new heaven's going to look like. He talks about streets of gold. He talks about the crystal sea. He talks about the gates of pearl. All of the things that are the physical characteristics of our eternal home. But look at verse 4 of Revelation 21. Probably the coolest thing about heaven is not what's there, but what's not there. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Church, there's not going to be any tears in heaven. There's going to be no need for Kleenex in heaven. No tears. You know what tears equate to? Heartache. To times of darkness, times of difficulty, times where you and I just struggle and we go through heartache in our life. There'll be no heartache in heaven. There'll be no tears in heaven. Some tears are joyful tears. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God collects all of our tears. Isn't that an amazing thought? That there's jars in heaven where there's a jar with your name on it and it's all the tears that you cried. You have wept bitterly over a broken heart and you thought nobody noticed, and the Bible says that God's collected all of those tears in a jar in heaven. Isn't that crazy? That God comes close to the brokenhearted, that God loves and walks through life with us. But in heaven, there's no tears. Look what else there's not. He said in verse 4 in chapter 21, it says, there'll be no tears in heaven, there'll be no death in heaven. There shall be no more death. Isn't that cool? No cemeteries, no funeral homes, no funeral directors. Hey, if there's no death, there'll be no hospitals. There'll be no hospices. Hey, listen, y'all get fired up in a minute when I get close to something you're going to get excited about, all right? There'll be no more doctor's appointments, no more prescriptions, no more pills you got to take. Hey, I'm getting there. Hang on. No more copays. Hello? Listen, there's no death in heaven. It's just life in heaven. For all of eternity, there's no tears and there's no death. And then he says there's no pain. You know, I think the cool things about heaven are going to be the things that we see, the pearly gates, the streets of gold. But wow, for all of eternity, no pain, no emotional pain. Some of you are dealing with so much emotional baggage and so much heartache because of somebody, something that's happened to you. And I'll just be real honest with you. Emotional scars go much deeper than physical scars. They last longer. They're harder to heal. They can open up just at a moment's notice with the thought of an individual or the sound of somebody's name. But I want you to know something, there'll be no emotional pain in heaven. The abuse that you endured on this earth, the pain that you suffered, there'll be no more pain in heaven. There'll be no more physical pain. Have you noticed the older you get, the more your body aches? Can I tell you, it hurts to bowl. Have you noticed that? I can go bowling and throw a 10, 12, 13-pound bowling ball and play a couple of games, and the next day I hurt in places I didn't even know I had muscles in. Have you jumped on a trampoline lately? I mean, as an adult. Oh, well, let's see, as an overweight adult, have you jumped on a trampoline? Everything on the inside of you bounces up and down. It's not a pleasant thing. I used to love a trampoline. There's nothing fun about a trampoline. It hurts to jump on a trampoline. Just the pains of life, the physical pains, the emotional pains, the scars that we carry about on this earth. Listen, there'll be no more pain. Praise God, there'll be no more pain. Listen, there's some of you in this room, you suffer from chronic pain. You take a pill because you have to. You see a pain management doctor because you have to. You have horrible back pain. You have had surgeries. You can't, it is so difficult for you to enjoy a day. Listen, praise God, in heaven there'll be no more pain. Hallelujah. Now, heaven new, heaven's near to us. The knots in heaven. But here's the last one I want you to write this down. Listen, I realize this doesn't start with an N, but it sounds like it does. No, with a K. K-N-O-W, I want you to write that down. Listen, I got English teachers here that taught me English. I know no's not a no, N-O, it's K-N-O-W. What's the no of heaven? Listen, heaven's not just a place. The only way to heaven is to know the person of heaven. You and I, we jump through a lot of hoops religiously. We feel as though if we know the right things, the right answers, we think in our mind of heaven, the picture of heaven, that St. Peter is there at the pearly gates offering us access in, because in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. When you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And so we, in our mind, we think Peter's there at the gate and no one gets in unless Peter quizzes you. A Bible drill, a pop quiz, ask you questions that you're fearful of. Maybe he's the one there that's weighing your good and your bad out. Do you know? Are you in the right church? Do you believe the right doctrine? Are you in the right denomination? It's about what you know, and we think that heaven is reserved for those of us who know enough. It's not about what we know. Don't miss this. It's about who we know. In fact, I'm running out of time. I've already ran out of time. Look at this verse real quick. It's in 1 John chapter 5. So Revelation 21, you go to Jude, take a left, you get to the Johns, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Look at 1 John chapter 5. I want to read this. Verse 11, he says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The only way to have eternal life is through the Son, Jesus. It's not because of what we do. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Look at verse 13. These things I have written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The only way you and I will spend eternity in heaven, it's not because of what we know, it's because of who we know. And I'm not talking about no knowledge, no. I'm talking about no in a relationship. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says that, "For it is by grace that you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, lest any one of us would get proud and boast about what we could achieve. But no, we're saved because of what Jesus Christ has achieved on the cross." Here's a question. Do you know? A lot has happened in my life since I saw you last time. The last Sunday morning, I'm going to just be honest with you, I didn't even mention for us to pray for my dad. The Sunday before I did, I told you he was in the hospital in Hot Springs with COVID, and to be honest with you, for 2 weeks, it seemed like he wasn't getting worse, he wasn't getting better. We thought this was just going to kind of play out. He would eventually turn a corner and get better, and last Sunday, I mean, it was just like it had been the last 2 weeks, and I didn't even mention it. And then Monday was Labor Day, and we were at the house, and I talked to the nurse, and the nurse said, "Listen, he's had a bad night." And then by that afternoon, my dad was in heaven. Monday afternoon, he closed his eyes in that ICU room in Hot Springs, and he opened them in the presence of God. Not because dad's not in heaven because of anything dad did. Dad's in heaven because he trusted in Jesus. But I want you to know something. I didn't realize when I saw you last Sunday that the very next day, that tomorrow, would be my dad's last day. Now, I'm grateful that my dad knew Jesus. But my question for you is, do you? Do you know him? You and I aren't promised tomorrow. God doesn't say, "Hey, you have this many days." We don't know when that day is. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? I want you to bow your heads together real quick, just in this moment. I want you just to think. Don't think about what you're eating. Don't think about where we're heading after this. Don't think about that. I want you just to listen to my voice. Do you realize that there was a time that you didn't exist? It'll be hard for some of you as a teenager. Maybe just 2 decades ago, you weren't here. You didn't exist. For some of you who are older, maybe 70 or 80, just prior to your conception, you were not. You didn't exist. You weren't here. In fact, we could say you weren't even thought of. You were not. In fact, 100 years before you were born, during the Civil War, you're nobody in this room. You were not. You weren't here. You weren't even thought of. You didn't exist. When our country was formed, you were not. You go even further back, and you look to way back when God created, and he scooped out the Grand Canyon. He pushed up the mountains. He hung the stars in outer space. You were not. You weren't here. But do you know that since your conception, there'll never be a time that you'll not be? I want every one of us in this room to think about that. Now that you have existed, there will never be a tomorrow that you will not be. The day after your funeral, you'll still be. Right after your heart beats for the last time in your chest, you'll still be. 100 years in a cemetery, 100 years after we bury you, listen, you'll still be. When those stars that God hung in outer space, when he plucks them out of their socket, you'll still be. When that sun grows cold and the moon goes black, listen, church, you'll still be. You will still exist. The question is this: where will you be? Not will you be, where will you be? The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us that what we earn for being a sinner is death, death for all of eternity, death separated from God. But he offers us the gift of grace. He offers us the gift of God through Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. So here in this moment, you may be asking yourself this question, how do I get that gift? How can I make a decision and receive a gift that will determine where I'll be for all of eternity? Well, the Bible says this, listen. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's not about what you do. It's not about the good that you do in your life. It's about recognizing what Jesus has done for you and accepting his gift. The Bible says that none of us come to the Father unless we're drawn by the Holy Spirit. Listen, in this moment, this morning, you may be feeling the Holy Spirit drawing you. You don't have to learn enough or know enough or pass enough classes. You don't. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. And this moment, God may be drawing you to receive him as your Savior. So you may be asking, how do I do that? How do I receive that gift of eternal life? Listen, just in the stillness of this moment, God reads your mind. God knows your heart. You don't have to pray this out loud, but you can pray something like this today. And I want you to know something. This isn't magical, mystical. It's not a certain prayer that you have to pray it word for word and be right. It's literally you realizing, recognizing that you can't save yourself and the only way to heaven is through Jesus and receiving that gift of grace, asking for that gift. Listen, maybe you are being drawn and God is wanting you to receive that gift today. Why don't you pray something like this? Why don't you just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've blown it. I know I've messed up. God, I know Jesus died for me. And God, right now, I want to trust him as my Savior. God, right now, I want to receive his gift of eternal life. Why don't you pray something like that? Just quietly in your heart, in your mind, say, God, I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner, and I want Jesus to give me eternal life. Save me. In Jesus' precious name. Listen, just with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you'd be honest. I didn't do this at 9:30. I just feel so led to do this right now. I wonder if you'd be honest. Nobody's looking, just me. Nobody's going to come to you. This isn't trickery. It's not anything. I just wonder if you'd be honest. You say, hey, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer with you, and you'd raise your hand real high where I could see it. Anybody like that? Awesome. My goodness. 5, 6, 10. Good night. Just raise your hand where I can see it. I see you all the way up in the balcony. My goodness. Just raise your hand where I can see it. Anybody else? I see you right back here to my left, up here. I bet there's 12 people who said, I just prayed and asked Christ. I see you right down here in the fourth row. Bless you. All the way back there in the back behind the sound booth. I see all those 3, 4 back there. I see you. Man, praise God. Listen, in just a few moments, Hunter's going to lead us in just a time to respond. And man, maybe you prayed and asked Christ. Our pastors are going to be here. They'd love to pray with you, get you a Bible, talk to you about what it means now that Christ lives in you. And listen, there's no pressure. Nobody's coming to you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And so just like an invitation to a party, this is the RSVP. We want you to respond. And so I'm going to pray, and we're all going to stand. Hunter's going to lead us. Our pastors will be here. Counselors will be coming. Folks will be coming to pray with you and visit with you. And if you just gave your life to Jesus, I want you to come forward. Let's pray together. God, you're good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you for the person of heaven that Jesus has made a way. And God, I pray, Father, that you would move in this place in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.